You can look at, and for later, if you're writing scripture like some do, Mark chapter 2, verses 18 through 22. And then Luke chapter 5, verses 33 through 39, which Antoine read for us. You see, all of these are the self-same story. But I got to pad my scriptures, if you will, so that when they go to get candy, there'll be several scriptures. But it's the same story. Don't let Riley know this. It's the same story being told. But we can write down these scriptures and it will tell us a story. But over in Matthew chapter 9, when we look over there, it is very interesting that our Lord was asked a question. He was asked a question concerning his disciples and the things that they began to witness that the Pharisees did and all others, but yet Jesus and his disciples didn't seem to follow along. And so they were curious and they asked questions about that. In verse number 14, the Bible says, of Matthew chapter 9, "Then the disciples of John came to him saying, 'Why do we and the Pharisees fast often, but your disciples do not fast?'" Why do we follow these things? We do it. We're the disciples of John. And the Pharisees do it. They're the religious leaders. But you, Jesus, and your disciples, they do not seem to fast as we do. The Bible says at verse number 15, and Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom mourn as long as the bridegroom is with them?" He's asking a question. "But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast." What are you saying, Lord? All the fasting, all the prayers, all the preparation that all they did, supposedly the Pharisees, the disciples of John, all they've done before me, they were fasting and praying and preparing for me, the Lord, amen, to come. Well, guess what? Now I'm here. And because I'm here, and the time is short, there's no need for them to fast. They must be about the work. Amen. Now, when I'm taken away from them, then there'll be time for them to fast and to pray. But as for now, because I'm here, my Father's work must be done. And they need to be about that business. But don't fret when the bridegroom is gone. When the Son of Man has left, then you will find them fasting and praying once again. But the fact that I'm here is why they're not doing it. Now, verse 16 says this. "No one puts a piece of unshrunk clothes or cloth on an old garment, for the patch pulls away from the garment and the tear is made worse." What is it talking about? Jesus always giving these examples so they can understand. He is saying that you don't get a new piece of cloth and put it on old clothing. It'll make it worse, you see, because it'll tear away because it's new, and new doesn't mix with old. Now, I'll take a moment here and talk about cloth, if I may. See, I was looking on the internet, and I saw somewhere where it said, jeans, $500. Jeans for $500? Yeah, I'll click on that. I want to see these jeans. So I did. And I found out that these jeans are called open jeans. And why are they called open jeans? Because the knee is open. The thigh is open. All around the back is open. And I'm saying, that costs $500? You pay $500 for that? You're not even getting your money's worth. But jeans, it is a $13 billion industry in the U.S. alone. That's a lot of jeans. So they have to get creative. They have to give you stuff to make up and say, well, this is the style, this is in, this is out, because all that money, you know, they got to do something new. And I'm telling you, that is not new. Because back in my day, when I went to high school, you could not come to school with not even a hole in your jeans. You'd have been ridiculed right out of the place. Back in my day. But today, they purposely rip away parts of it and sell it to you for a whole lot more money. You know, it's quite simple. You can get yourself a $5 pair of jeans. Throw it in your food blender. Rip it up. And that's what you have. But yet they charge you $500. I mention that because at my high school, William M. Raines High School. By the way, there's only two public schools have won state championships in Duval County. That would be William M. Raines High School in 1997 and also in 2017. So it's a great school. And I got to believe it was greater back then we went. Now, I'm not sure because I know things have changed, you know. They're still doing some good things. But back when I was there, Raines High School was it. I mean, I know you had Reebok down the road, and that's fine. They were close enough. But William M. Raines High School was like, man, that is it. I mean, we were the sharpest dressers. We had good students. We had the best band. Whatever we put our mind to, if you gave us competition, we were going to rise to the level and be the best. That's just the way we thought. Now, I know what's going on and what's happened through the years of Raines High School. And Raines have found themselves to be a D school and sometimes a failing school. I'm here to tell you that never would have happened in my day. But we'd have rose up as students and said, we are better than this. Amen. And we'd have did whatever we had to do to get that corrected. That's why I know it's different now. You see, back then. But back then, Raines was it. And we had a certain, you know, swag, if you will, about us. Raines said, you know, we're going to have, and one day each year they had what they call dress-up day. Okay? And on dress-up day, you wore your very best. If you got new clothes for school, you saved that. You didn't wear that until the end of the year at dress-up day. That's how it was. Everybody dressed up. Everybody was going to look. There was no shame about it. You know, you either you're going to be dressed up or not. And you made great preparation for that. Well, growing up the way I did, in a single mom's home and all of that, I didn't have the clothes like some of the others did. And I knew my best friend Lester Means didn't have it either. Now, Lester wasn't here earlier, and he wasn't supposed to be here, but he came on in the building, so I guess it was just meant to be. And he'll verify this story for you. So, we're getting ready for dress-up day at William M. Raines High School, 1979. And in my mind, I know for a fact I am not going to school on that day. But I didn't tell Lester that, because I wanted Lester to go to school and be the only one in there not dressed up. Because, boy, he was going to get it. And I knew, I said, man, Lester going to school, and I'm just saying, it's going to be bad for him because I know I'm not going. So I'm sitting there the day of, and I'm at home, and I'm saying, man, Lester ought to be in first period now, but they're letting him have it. Second period, it can't get any better. Now it's lunchtime. I know he's getting it in lunch. So I decided that towards the end of the day, I said, let me just call Lester House. And I did, 768 Bean, I called him. And the phone rang. I said, boy, I feel bad for Lester. It rained again. I said, Lester shouldn't have went to school, man. He shouldn't have gone. He should have been smart like me. Phone rang again. He picks it up, talking about, hello. I said, what are you doing home? He said, the same reason you home. He got no clothes. I knew right then, I said, this has potential to be a lifelong friendship. Lester wanted to hurt me, and I wanted to hurt him. Dress-up day at Raines High School was that way, you see. Let's get back to Matthew chapter 9, verse 17. This will get into our lesson as we look into our new year. The Lord says, nor do they put new wine into old wineskins, or else the wineskins break and the wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But they put new wine into new wineskins, and both are preserved. Now, if you look at a person who look into that industry, a wine connoisseur, or those people who really take pride in it, and it's a huge industry, it really is. You know, wine tasters and growers, and you see them in the glass and they roll it around. You saw it on TV, right? And they smell it, right? They're looking for balance and all of that. There are some things you need to know about wine. When you have new wine, it has to be in a vessel that is big enough so it can breathe, right? And if it doesn't breathe properly, then it's going to be off balance, and it will never be as good. And those who are connoisseurs in that area will know right off that the wine didn't breathe properly, or this problem or that problem. They know those things already. So when you begin to look at wine and how it's set, you have to know these things. So somebody might ask, well, how do you know about that, brother? They said, do you partake in wine drinking? Do you and Sister Sanders, you know, have your nightcaps? No, that would be incorrect. My wife cannot tell you what wine, beer, or liquor tastes like. She can't tell you. Never put it to her mouth. Now, as for me, I got dumb 2 times in my life, both in high school. The second one was on a recruiting trip with Lester Beans. He'll tell you all about it. He got some stories for you. He'll tell you about it if you want to know about that. But I got dumb 2 times in my life, and that was 39 years ago. Never would I want to do that again. That's what wine would do. You see, when you put new wine into old wine skins, it would break. And as the Bible says, it would be ruined. It was spilled. You will not have the opportunity to use it. It'd be of no good to you. You can't put new wine into old wine skins. So what about these old clothes and new clothes that you're talking about? Old wine and new wine. What is the thought for today? Our thought for today is this. You can't bring your old ways into the new way. You can't bring the old man into the new man. We become new when we obey the gospel and become children of God, right? But all those things that have happened to us in the past are still there, and they linger. And that old evil one is sitting there to remind us constantly, daily, what you used to be, what you used to do. And it reminds us of the supposedly good times that we had. Remember when and all those different things, right? And slowly as we continue in life, and, you know, we try to do our very best, and sometimes we fail. We bring that old man into the new man. And that creates a problem. It's a conflict because we no longer want to be that anymore. You cannot bring your old ways into the new way. Now, here's our principal text for this morning. Acts chapter 8. We're going to start reading that verse number 9. We're going to break down with this example. This is a true example of a person who was lost and found, and was working his way on being lost again. But thanks be to God that a way was provided back for him. It's a great story. It's a great story to look at. And we can learn much, I believe. Acts chapter 8, starting at verse number 9. The Bible says, but there was a certain man called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great, to whom they all gave heed, from the least of the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. If we were looking at Simon today, a modern day Simon would be a modern day televangelist. who perhaps have two or three of these mega churches, who flies around in his own private jet, where the rich and the powerful and the poor and the destitute will all give heed to this person as being someone great. I see it all the time. Something happened on TV, they need a religious opinion. They go to certain people who they think the world will know, who have these great mega churches, great TV shows, and they want to know, what do you think about this situation? See, they're giving heed to some to these people to be someone great. They recognize them and will televise them, and your opinion is important to us. Tell us what you think. These are the kind of people. You see, this would be a modern day Simon that would take place. The Bible says at verse number 11, and they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorcery for a long time. That's what Simon did. That's why they gave heed to him, because he astonished them. He put on a show for a long time. You know, we got some of those around today, right? They put on a show for and been around for a long time. You know, they give you all the drama that you want. They give you theatrics, whatever you want. You know, if you want to feel like you're walking into a theater, you'll get that. You feel like you want to walk into an open, you know, arena where they're playing sports, you can get that. Whatever you want to feel, we got for you. See, they've astonished the people. And people walk in and say, there is no way that the Lord cannot be here. Look at all these people here. And what's going on, you see? There is no way God cannot be a part of this. That's what man thinks. And that's why they're astonished. And you see, Simon was no different because of the people of his day. That's exactly what he did to them. He had fooled them with his sorcery and brought them in. And they believed him to be some great man. But the Bible goes on to say at verse number 12, but when they believed Philip, as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. You see, when you preach the gospel, the end results will always be people being baptized. Don't miss that. Because the world will tell you differently, that you don't really have to be baptized for the remission of your sins. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says when the preaching came by Philip, when they heard it concerning the kingdom of God, the Bible says that both men and women were baptized. The Bible says at verse number 13, then Simon himself also believed. Look how the Bible phrases that. The Bible says, then Simon himself. Well, Simon was a part of that group too, but the Bible wanted to highlight Simon. Why? Because Simon was some great one in the eyes of the people. And God wants us to know that this Simon, the one who practiced sorcery, who had astonished the people, fooled the people. You see, he heard it also, the Bible says, and he believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed seeing the miracles and signs which were done. Why would Simon be impressed? Why would Simon be amazed at what he saw? Because Simon knew that he was a crook. And Simon knew what was real and what was not real. He knew what he was doing was not real. But this is real. This is from God. This is not makeup. This is not sorcery. This is not trying to pull the wool over people's eyes. This is legitimately from God. So yes, he would be impressed. Of all the people there, he should have been impressed. Because everybody else, you see, were astonished at him. The Bible goes on to say at verse number 14, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them, that they might receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet he had fallen upon none of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see, God's work is being done. There's a whole lot being done here, you see. Preparation is being made. The day is coming, you see, that the work must continue. And the apostles hear about it, and they want to go and support it. And the laying of hands was important, and it was real, because the work needed to progress. The apostles had to go throughout the world and preach the gospel. So the hands had not been laid on them. The Bible says in verse number 17, then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. They being the apostles laid hands. Not any and everybody. The apostles laid hands. They alone had the ability to do what they did. Not any and everybody coming up who believed, who was not there with the witness Jesus. They didn't have the ability to lay hands. Only the apostles did. The Bible says in verse 18, and when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit was given, he offered them money. You see, that old man and them old ways have not crept back in to Simon. Simon said, you know, I know where I was, and I had, you know, astonished these people. But this thing here is legitimate. And this thing here, you know, if I get my hands on this, imagine what I can do. And the Bible went on to say that he offered them money. Well, where you get that money from, Simon? You get it from the people. You see, whenever you astonish the people, when you excite the people, you can get into their wallets very easily. Because people will gladly give when they're excited. That's why they work them up. That's why they run around and play the music and get them all excited. And, you know, all of that rolling and rolling and rolling. At the very end, now we're going to take up a collection. Now that you're all excited now, you've gotten all this, we're going to take up a collection. And we want a big one, too. Right? That's how you do it. So, he is thinking, if I get my hands on this, man, I'm gonna be a big deal. Big, even bigger. He offered them money. That old man had come back. He's no different than you and I. You see, when we walk the line and try to do right, it is constantly on us for that old man to come back. Am I right? I wish it can be that we can obey the gospel and forget all the negative past things that made us to that point. I wish we could forget, but no, that will not happen. And the devil surely is not going to let it happen. Constantly going to remind us of that negative person that we used to be. Simon was trying to put new wine into old wineskins. And it was not going to work. Amen. It was not going to work at all. As we continue to look at that reading, the Bible goes on to say at verse number 19, saying, give me this power also that anyone on whom I lay hands may receive the Holy Spirit. Simon is so far off, he doesn't understand. He has greed on his mind. He has his own plans. He's not thinking about God. It's not about God's will. It's all about him. Amen. And that's why he's asking, give me this power. Not only can I have it, but I can do some laying on hands as well. The Bible goes on to say at verse number 20, but Peter said to him, your money perish with you. Because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. You know, there comes a time when you're in the Lord's church, when there is an offense that is being done, that you have to stand up and tell a person that they're wrong. Peter told him, your money perish with you. Your heart is not right. You know, you're bitter. All these things, you're messed up. You don't understand that you're bringing that old man back into new. You obeyed the gospel. You said that you were going to put all these things away, but yet you're bringing them back to us again. Now, the Bible says in verse number 22, now this is where you have to just love God. Amen. Respect God for who he is. For the Bible says, as he continued, repent therefore of your wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of your heart may be forgiven you. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. You have not changed very much, sir. You have reverted back to your old ways. He told him, not only did he rebuke him, thank God he redirected him. That's what we need in the church, right? Any of us can rebuke. Anybody can tell somebody they're wrong. Ain't nothing hard with that. In fact, some of us take pride in it. Yeah. Come to me. I'm a straight shooter. I'll tell them what's going on. Yeah, we can rebuke. But can you redirect? That's what happened here. You have sinned. You are wrong. But here's what you need to do. You need to repent and pray. Why? Because you already obeyed the gospel. See, there's no need for you to be baptized over again. Because you already obeyed the gospel. For those who have not obeyed the gospel, yes, it'd be necessary for you to be baptized, but not you, because you've already been baptized. And you're falling back into your sins. You need to repent and pray that God will forgive you. That's what we do at the church, right? When we have problems, when we fall away, we make mistakes, we come before, we repent. And we ask the church to pray for us, pray to God, that God may forgive us. That's the order. That's why we do what we do. Thanks be to God that he didn't instruct Peter to leave Simon out there dangling over hell's fire. You know why I'm grateful for that? Because there's a whole lot of Simon in me. Amen. I don't know about you. There's a whole lot of Simon in me. See, I make my mistakes. And I know if I stand before God in my current condition that God at any time can say, no, I do not accept you. But by his grace and his mercy, because God loves us, because he made provisions for us through his son Jesus Christ, we can come back to him. Isn't God good? Isn't he good? It is not enough that he said, I made it possible for you to come back to me. You have said you'll come back to me, but here you go again. You done messed up. You see, I can be done with you. Amen. But the blood of Jesus Christ continues to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Give me someone better than God. Amen. Show me someone better than God. Show me one. That's why when people get upset and things happen in their lives and they turn on each other, turn on the church, turn away from the church, go away angry, mad. My question is, who are you mad at and what has God done to you? Now, I'm not talking about the people at the church. I know they're imperfect. I know they say things. I know they do things. I know they can make you mad. I get that. But what has God done to you? God has not done anything to you but save you over and over and over again. And if you can't say thank you to God for that and not worry about the people, even your own brother and sister in Christ who may misbehave, then you're lacking something. You're lacking gratitude towards God because God has not done anything to you or I. He just tried to save us. And for that and that alone, I will praise him and give thanks to him for what he has done for me. You know, it doesn't end there, because if we continue to read, it says at verse number 24, then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. So when they had testified and preached the word of the Lord, they returned to Jerusalem, preaching the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. You see, I love happy endings, don't you? Amen. Say what you want about Simon. Simon came back and asked and said, would you pray that none of these things happen to me that you said? See, that's a great ending. And the last thing that we know, at least that I know, maybe you found something else, that's the last thing I know about Simon. So what can I conclude? Simon was right with God. In spite of his mistakes and all that he did, he came back. You know what he did? Here's the first thing you learn about Simon. This is what you can appreciate about Simon. When he was rebuked, he took it like a man, did he not? He didn't get mad. He didn't go fussing. He heard what was said. He assessed it all. He said, you know what? I don't want to be in that position. I don't want to go to that place. Here's what you do, Peter. Pray to God that he will forgive me. He made it right with God. And you know what? That's the example for you and I. Let's make it right with God. Oh, yeah, we may make our mistakes, right? We may say and do things, but let's make it right with God. I don't know about you, and I say it often, if I miss heaven, it won't be your fault. It won't be your fault. It won't be yours. It won't be yours. It'll be mine. I know what to do. If I miss it, there'll be no excuse. I missed it because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. And because I would not make any excuses, what you say and think about me, I'm sorry, I have to limit it. Because you can't save me and you can't condemn me. Now, the best thing you and I can do is try to get along and help each other, you see, and we'll be better off. Because then both of us can be preserved, right? Trying to help one another. But if you're busy trying to, help yourself, and see the shortcomings of everybody else, that's a problem. That's a problem. I saw it with me. One of the great things, and I know I mentioned his name a couple of times, and one of the great things I love about my friend Lester B. I'm telling you, man, it's rare. And he and I have been in some situations with old friends and situations in church, and people have come and their lives have been, you know, they have not been very proud of what they have done. It's been downright disgraceful, to be honest with you. It's been bad. And a funny thing happened with these people. Always come back to me and they say, you know what? I really like that Lester Beans. I say, why? He said, because I said all those things and I told him what I did and he never once judged me. That's a great quality he has. He really does. No matter how bad it is, man, Lester will turn and say, God can fix it. That's the kind of person you want to go to. Not the person sitting around and say, you did what? Lord, have mercy. Did you? Good Lord. I'm glad I never did that. No, that's not the kind of person that you want to talk to. You need somebody that's going to say, yeah, you know, here's what Lester would do. I've seen him do it. A person come and will tell him something bad they did in life. Lester try to top it. Yeah, but in my life, I did such and such. You know, okay. I can talk to this person. He don't see himself above me. He's trying to help me. And then that lets the person know you will listen to me. And then they hear what you have to say. It's a great quality to have. It really, really is. You can't put new wine, or new wine, into old wine skins. You can't bring the old man into the new man. The old ways to the new ways. And you cannot bring all of those problems and sins and disappointment and 2017 and roll them into 2018 if the Lord shall allow us to see it. Why would you do that? Why would you do that? What's done is done. Learn from them. If there was something that you didn't like in 2017, improve it in 2018. Be better, right? Look forward to being better. Oh, I'm not going to beat myself up because it's now done. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I can correct it. Maybe I can't. I don't know. But it does me no good to bring that in to the new year. It's only going to drag me down. That's all it's going to do. So I choose to look forward to be a better representative of God and His ways. I want to be a better husband. I want to be a better wife. I want to be a better Christian. I want to be a better friend. I want to be a better employee. I want to be a better. Why? Because God allowed me to see a year that was never promised to me. That's gratitude. And I'm going to make the most of it, right? I'm going to make the most of it. I'm going to be closer to God. No matter what may happen in 2018, nobody knows. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to happen in 2018. I know that I'm going to be challenged. I know that the evil one is daily trying to snatch me away from my Lord. I know that. But here's my made up mind. Whatever happens, I'm going to stick with the Lord. That much I can control. I don't know what my wife is going to do. 2018 may bring about an enlightenment to her and say, you know what? I should have left a long time ago. I'm out of here. I don't know. I can't control a grown person, mind. I can only control what I can't control. If she decides to do that, I'm going to turn to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to be closer to you. No matter what happens, I'm going to stick with you. And I know that's your same heart and desire today. That's why you're here today. That's why you're here today. And I hope something has been said to bring you great encouragement, to thank God for what He has done for us already. And to thank God for what He may do for us in the future. He is so worthy of our praise, of our honor. He is so worthy. So let's make up our minds that we're going to live it for Him and be the very best that we can be for Him. If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, we want to encourage you to become a child of God by hearing His word. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, so then faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. You need to believe that word. Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 6, the Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he to come to God must believe that He is, and there is reward of them that diligently seek Him. Then you need to repent of your sins. Luke chapter 13 and verses 3, Jesus said, I tell you nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Then you need to confess Jesus Christ to be the Son of God. Matthew chapter 10 and verses 32 and 33, says, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you for my Father which is in heaven. But if you deny me before men, I will deny you for my Father which is in heaven. Then we all need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Acts chapter 2, verse 38, Peter told him, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Then we all need to remain faithful to the end. And that's what we're talking about, you see, going forward. Be faithful to the end. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10, talks about that crown of life that God is going to give us if we remain faithful until the end. That's what we need to do. That's what it takes to become a child of God. That's what it takes to remain a child of God. But if you're here this morning, you're a child of God, and you have not been as faithful to God that you want to be, you want to improve, you want to do better, you just feel like you have to get it right with God, this is your time as well. Come down and ask the saints to pray along with you. God will forgive you because He is just. His word is truth. That's all we need to do. He will forgive us. We will pray for one another. And then we can go on and live for Him and be faithful until the very end. If you're here this morning, you need a prayer, you know someone that is, why don't you come as together we stand and sing the invitational song.